It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. We are taking negatives and we are turning them into positives. That is what we do right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC and Gervie's Law. And today is no exception, as we will be taking negatives and turn them into positives. Carrie Kasem is laughing her head off, and I don't know why.
I just saw what you wrote under my selfie. Okay, so I took a selfie coming to work today. I'm kind of doing the Audrey Hepburn, you know, with the bangs. And this is usually my dirty hair hairstyle.
Big hair,
right, with the bangs. And so I'm reading what you wrote. You said, wow, can hardly wait for the show. Drinks afterward? Like, what?
Well, she looks really, really hot today. And the fact that I said drinks afterward is basically giving a little hint as to what we'll be talking about, a very, very serious topic today. We're talking about substance abuse and alcoholism.
Of course, that's a perfect segue.
That's why we were talking about going for a nice cold glass of lemonade
after
the show. You know, Carrie, I know this is a special weekend. It's a special weekend for me, and I know it's hard for you because it is Father's Day weekend. I want to wish everyone out there who is a dad a happy Father's Day. I lost my father 10 years ago, almost to the day, and I miss him every day. And Father's Day is a good time to think about what a great, great man he was, how he instilled in me the values that I try to live up to and that I pass on to my two children. Hopefully, as they get older, they will remember Harry Gervie, my father, and the values that he had, and hopefully make the world a better place. And I know, Carrie, it's the same with you.
It is the same with me, and it's weird because I did, you know, last week was the one-year anniversary of my father's death, and he did die on Father's Day last year.
So that's right, I remember that.
And what happens to be World Elder Abuse Awareness Day for the last 7 years, which is amazing, too. But, yeah, you know, it's a bit hard. It's funny, sometimes when I'm not thinking about it, I'll get a text. And the text will say, you know, I know this weekend's hard for you. I'm like, wait, I wasn't thinking about it right now.
You start thinking about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is hard. It's the first Father's Day without him.
Can I give you a little piece of advice? And you don't have to take my advice, but I use the time to remember my father and all the good that he represented. And it's actually a really nice day for me, not only because I am a father, but also to think of my dad and to think of the history that we had. And it's really a great time. For those of you who have lost your fathers, think about all the good and what fathers do for their children, and specifically what your father may have done for you. And I think it will be a really good time, to think and reflect and remember the good times.
And even if you didn't have a lot, because there's some people out there who are like, you know, they maybe weren't as close to their father or they didn't, there's always something you can take from your parent,
right?
Always. Even if they weren't good, you can learn an opposite lesson from them.
You know, it's a good point you make, because a lot of fathers, you know, some of my friends, they had fathers who were perhaps alcoholics or who weren't there for their kids. And we're going to talk today about alcoholism, substance abuse, specifically with lawyers, but at the same time, it applies to everyone. And Carrie makes a good point. Carrie and I were fortunate. And I, you know, want to be the best father I can for my little kids right now and in the future. But some people didn't have the advantage that we had, and we have to think about that. So when you listen to the show today, you're going to hear about alcoholism and substance abuse, and it may hit home for a lot of people because it is a huge, huge problem. In fact, we had horrible news this week. Of course, everyone's talking about it, the South Carolina shootings, and it seems that, you know, what do we make of it? It's very hard to understand human behavior, and it's very hard to understand people who are troubled. A lot of them are on medications, and in this case, there was reports that Dylan Roth was on Suboxone, which is a narcotic used to treat opiate addiction. Not sure if that's true or not, but that could have caused some aggression. We have a psychiatrist, Tom Preston, on the show later. Maybe we'll ask him about that. Why are you moving your purse? That's making a lot of noise.
Sorry, I'm trying to get this pen ran out of ink, and I don't think I have another one.
Okay.
I'm looking.
Okay, but what's more important is, you know, you're reaching your hand in there, and I don't know what you're going to pull out. And I'm really concerned about these gun laws that we have, and you never know when someone's going to pull a gun.
Well, I don't have my CCW. Unfortunately, I don't, because I would be carrying if I was allowed to. And I didn't bring my .357 nor my Derringer, and my shotgun wouldn't fit in there. So, no, I don't have my gun. You are safe.
Okay, but the issue is there are people who aren't safe. What about the poor people at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston?
It's awful.
How would they ever have thought? Why do people have the opportunity to walk around with guns when they shouldn't have them, Carrie?
Here's the problem, and it makes me angry every single time this debate is brought up, and this is brought up, is guns are dangerous. We have to have firmer gun laws. If you have firmer gun laws and you take guns away from good people, the criminals will still get them. There is a black market. The black market is still there. Do you think a guy who deals prostitution or does drugs or sells drugs or is in and out of jail really cares about a license? Do you think the one thing that they're going to say, oh, you know what, I better get that gun license while I'm selling drugs to people or prostituting my women out?
But if it makes it easier for people to get hold of them, if my father comes to me when I turn 21 and gives me a gun and I'm a messed up kid with a lot of messed up ideas, that ain't good for anyone.
You know what? There's a lot of weapons out there. There's
knives,
there's
everything. Oh, now you're just talking about other weapons.
There's a lot of other weapons. Alan, it's fact. The states that have these gun laws like California, where you cannot protect yourself, crime rate is higher, violent rape is up, it's just a fact. You know, I'm so sick of people who skew this. People that can protect themselves, Arizona, Vermont, Texas, people with an open carry, the crime rate's down. Violent crime is down. It's a statistic. It's a fact. I do not like my facts skewed, and that's what happens.
You know, the last time you went off on this show about this, Erwin Chemerinsky, the great professor and dean of the Irvine Law School, said you're absolutely wrong.
And
you
never came back to debate me. He never came back to debate me.
We'll get
How many
back
times
here.
Have we asked that man to come on the show? I'm right. It's stats.
No.
It's facts.
You know what?
Facts.
I'm getting him on the show, and he's going to bring his facts because I want to see him tell you that your facts are only facts to you and to people who love guns.
That's not true. You know what? We only hear about how guns harm, not how many people they save. When I did radio, I did political.
You're doing radio right now.
When I did political talk radio in Nevada. Do you know how many times we heard of guns that saved people, people breaking into houses that were armed, who got shot, their families were saved, over and over again? But you don't hear that out here. Why? Democratic society doesn't let you protect yourself. Not fair.
If this nutcase would have had a knife, would he have been able to kill 9 people without someone stopping him?
If you think this nutcase, exactly, you're just making my point. You keep coming. You keep talking, Alan, because you're making my point. He's a nut. He could go get a gun off the black market, and he probably would have. If he really wanted to go and get a gun, he could have.
You know,
period.
He had a lot against blacks. So when you talk about him getting it off the black market, that doesn't seem
right.
Yeah,
I'm going to kill you right now. Now I'm going to kill you.
All right. You know what? We'll leave that for another time.
Drinks? Drinks, anyone?
Hey, Journey, tonight at the Hollywood Bowl, I will be there. Journey, don't stop believing. You're listening to the Gervies Law. Right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back after this message.
person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Because of USC Executive Education, I have been able to increase our revenue.
David attended the USC Marshall School of Business Management Development Program.
This course is absolutely fantastic. My advice to anyone even thinking about being in management has to take this course.
Starting September 12th, earn a certificate of completion from USC Marshall School of Business in Management Development. Register at uscexecutiveeducation.com. That's uscexecutiveeducation.com. Learn business essentials for managers today. Use them tomorrow.
Hi, this is Ken Michaels, host of the show Mortgage Makeovers. Hey, if you're interested in buying a home or maybe even refinancing your home, you need to make sure you're getting the best deal. Tune into my show, Mortgage Makeovers, every Sunday at 5 a.m. right here on KABZ 790.
Don't wake up to trash trucks, barking dogs, all kinds of noise. Call American Vision Window. Get the free upgrade to their sound package, plus free expert installation. Also, will lower your electric bill, increase the beauty of your home, and the security. You got nothing to lose. 877-465-2470.
CSLB number 778326.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervey's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Are you going to sing this one, Carrie?
Are you actually going to Journey, Alan?
I am.
They're one of my favorites.
Really?
Small Town Girl.
Okay, not Steve Perry or Arnel Pineda.
Lonely world.
Keep going. We're losing listeners by the way.
Anywhere.
I could just do this all afternoon.
I could do karaoke all afternoon.
And I'm going to see this live tonight right at the Hollywood Bowl. You're listening to Gervey's Law. This is a legal show.
What?
Although Carrie used to do a music show.
I did. For many, many years.
Let's talk about Nikki. No. Watch that. All right. So we are going to change it up right now. This is Gervey's Law, and Carrie's not very upset. That's Carrie Kasem. This is on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And I want to tell you a little bit about what's going to happen after this show at 3 o'clock after the news. That's 3:05. Don't miss it because there will be a new show on the radio waves that will be just climbing the charts to number 2 after Gervey's Law. It will be the Doctor's Roundtable with Alan Gervey.
And wow. Doctors.
And doctors.
It's the lawyer and the doctors.
Well, I am a juris doctor, as I explain. In the first show, you have to listen when we come up, because I want to explain to you why I am the moderator and the host of the Doctor's Roundtable. I am a doctor. It just happens to be a juris doctor. But today, we are doing our first show. It's at 3 o'clock right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We have a great panel of doctors. This is like the Bill Maher show for medical issues. And we have Michael Bloom, who's CEO and co-owner of the Pasadena Recovery Center. We also have Dr. Adi Jaffe, who's an addiction expert and researcher, writer, and the founder of Alternatives Addiction Treatment. And we have Dr. Leanna Georgoulis, who is a licensed clinical psychologist for Coast Psychological Services. So we are going to have the roundtable every Saturday at 3 o'clock right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Today, in the roundtable, we are talking about addiction and substance abuse. And what better way to start that discussion on the roundtable than having it right here on Gervey's Law. having this important discussion, because lawyers are probably people who suffer from addiction and self-abuse, yeah, that too, but substance
too.
Abuse more than any other occupation out there, and we're going to discuss why. We are so privileged right now to welcome to Gervie's Law two of the best defense lawyers, because we never have defense lawyers on this show, since I'm a bleeding heart liberal on a conservative talk radio show.
Thank God you have me.
That's right. That's what you're here for. So these are two of my favorite attorneys, and they have great stories to tell you. They have become so successful, two of the top attorneys in workers' compensation in the state of California, and you won't believe their stories. This is a real example of taking negatives and turning them into positives. Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong can go wrong.
But here on Gervie's Law.
You weren't even listening.
Yes. Can go wrong, but here on Gervie's Law.
Everything that can go wrong can also go right.
Right.
And they are living proof. We have Amy Studi King, who is a co-founding partner of Studi & Mills, right here in Southern California, who is a very strong advocate for helping women in inside and outside the legal community to recover from alcoholism and drug addiction. And we also have with us a good friend of mine, Saul Allwise, who is one of the best attorneys that I know, who represents insurance companies and helps out in California with employers who are in need. He was named the State Bar of California Workers' Compensation Defense Attorney of the Year a few years back. Saul and Amy, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Now, we're going to talk about your situations. You both are advocates for helping people with addictions and with substance abuse. Amy, first, tell us about your background with addiction.
Well, it all started when I was 5.
Wow.
Sitting on the tarmac and being the last kid picked for dodgeball. From that point on, I always felt different. Never felt good enough, never felt smart enough. Never pretty enough.
You are very pretty.
Oh, you are very sweet.
Your body's a 10. You know that.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
let's not
interrupt. I'm just gonna, I know, but I'm just saying.
She can keep talking.
I had the same thing as you. I was picked on, and I was always picked last. But
I thought you were going to say anorexia.
No. No, Alan.
Well, and the problem with those feelings is that they don't change, and it continues no matter how great a family you have, how much support you have from siblings, and how many friends you have. You can be in a room full of people and still feel very much alone.
Right.
And I was a good kid, did very well, had great grades, went to college, finished early, excelled. And then I started working for IBM, and everybody went out and had drinks after work. And I like to sing, although I didn't get a chance to join you guys earlier. I enjoyed doing that, and I enjoyed closing bars, and I liked drummers, and things just started happening. And I found that I was not able to, control myself very well when I was in that type
of... So, Amy, what happened? When you lost control, what was it like, and what were you doing at that time?
I think there is nothing more terrifying than waking up in the morning, seeing your car in the driveway, and not recalling how it got there.
Yeah.
Or getting a call from your friends telling you what you did the night before.
Yeah.
It's scary. And I was very lucky. I never had a 502. I was never picked up by the police. I'm one of the lucky ones. But I knew that there was an issue, and I knew it was getting worse. And so I decided to talk to somebody. And I spoke to a psychologist who, unfortunately, had issues himself, and I heard about his mother the whole time, so that didn't go too well. So then I went to a psychiatrist.
We have a psychiatrist coming on the show in a little bit, Dr. Tom Preston, and I'm sure that, you know, he's heard a lot of stories about fellow psychiatrists and psychologists who perhaps don't address all of the issues that the patient really needs, but that's another story. You know, I want to find out where it all led you, but let's turn to Saul Allwise here. Saul, you know, I know Saul very well, and I've spoken with with him on panels on this topic. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you have, you know, dealt with the issues that have dogged you over the years.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, I came out to California in 1976 and purportedly go to law school. I was promptly kicked out and became an insurance adjuster. And I talk about my first career is, like Amy, I always felt different than other people. And I found that drugs and alcohol worked really, really well to fill that hole in my soul.
Right.
And I don't think I ever would have gotten sober had the drugs and alcohol stopped working. Now, the bad part about drugs and alcohol is that the victim, me, is the last person to find out. And I lived in my bottom for a number of years. I remember once looking down the business end of a 38 and,
wow.
A drug deal that had gone bad. I, too, never had a 502, but my life fell apart.
Is that the same thing as a DUI?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
502 DUI. Okay, yeah. There we go. Lawyer talk here.
And in 1985, I lived in that bottom actually for 3 years, and I went into a 28-day rehab. Got out, everybody slapped me on the back and said, gee, you know, Saul, you're the one guy that's really going to make this, and except for the doctors there, and they said, you know, Saul, you know, you did a little bit too good here. And, 30 days later, I ended up with, doing up a half a gram of crank in two lines and got so wired that I couldn't close my eyes for 48 hours and drank a couple bottles of vodka, smoked as much dope as I can get my hands on, and that's when I had my true spiritual awakening.
Wow.
And I realized that that everything that I learned in those first 30 days were interesting, but it really was just a prelude to what I was going to get involved in. And I got involved in 12-step programs and recovery. And thankfully, one day at a time, the day of my last drink was October 21st, 1985.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
When we talk about 12-step programs, and we're going to talk a little bit about that on the next show on the Doctors Roundtable, but from both of your perspectives, I know you've both had involvement. Tell us what it's like and why you have been successful where some people criticize the program saying that it doesn't always help and that because it's anonymous, you don't know about the failures. Amy?
Well, it's not just about alcohol or drugs. It's also about the ism. It's about getting into that deep hole and repairing it. And it's done through the 12 steps, which include making an amends to other people for the wrongs we did, getting responsible. I was very blessed to be sober November 7th, 1988, and it was 3 weeks before I passed the bar exam.
Wow.
So as long as I've been sober, I haven't had an issue with a client. My children have never seen me drink. But, you know, in order to keep it, we have to give it away. So I also work with several women whom I adore and are wonderful that, we're able to give back to the community. We share. We keep going to meetings. We participate in each other's lives and recovery. It becomes a family, and we're accountable, and we're transparent with each other.
Saul, have you had the same experience? And we're getting up against the news, so just quickly comment on what Amy just said.
Yeah. The first step is the craziness of what the alcohol's caused in your life. The other 11 is how do you live without taking a drink? And getting back to that hole, it's filling that hole with things other than substances. The best definition I was given about addiction is using a substance instead of another human being in place of any type of emotion, good or bad.
I have many family members who been alcoholics and used drugs, and you know, some have gotten out of it and some haven't. And I when we come back from the break, I want to ask you guys a question about that and how to get them back on the wagon.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it affects so many people. And when we get back, we are going to talk about that. We're going to bring out Tom Preston, who's a psychiatrist. We're going to talk a little bit about stress and lawyers and how Amy and Saul are dealing with that now with such a stressful job. You're listening to Garvey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
What's RDO, you ask? Well, it's your soundtrack for good days and the not-so-good days. It's your party mix and your chill mix. Basically, RDO puts endless stations in your pocket or on your tablet. Launch a station based on an artist or genre. Or build a custom music station that's totally you. And it's free until you say otherwise. That's RDIO. RDO. Tuned to you.
She fell in love with my blue eyes. But that love is dead.
Yeah.
Been wearing old contacts. Now my eyes are all red.
Girl.
Why'd I run out of contacts? I see nothing clear. Itchy eyes, old lenses. I can't hold back my tears. Never run out of contacts. Wish I could see you again.
Get free expedited shipping on all app orders. Never run out of contacts.
1-800-CONTACTS.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Burby, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gerby and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
One of my all-time favorites from Journey.
They're one of my most favorite bands ever.
Really?
Arnell Pineda, the guy that they picked after Steve Perry, is so unbelievably talented. I watched hours and hours of footage of him before they picked him. They were thinking about it. That man can sing. Like, first of all, not only like Steve Perry, name somebody and he can sound just like them.
Well, maybe we can hook...
can we get rid of your wife and take me?
Yeah, I was
going
to say, maybe Jesse and my wife Nancy can
Well, since Jesse's in China for the next 2 months, we can hang out, Alan. Look at that.
Well, Nancy, I'm sure, is busy planning a great Father's Day for me.
And digging my grave.
She does a great job. All right. Well, you know, we want to continue this conversation because it is really important. A lot of people who listen to the show are, in fact, lawyers, are in high-stress jobs, and we are talking with Saul Allweis and Amy Studi Mills, who...
No.
I'm just Studi kidding. Carrie, there's a funny story to that. We are speaking next week in Vegas. There's three of us, actually. Amy, Tom Preston, psychiatrist, myself. We have a big convention. There's going to be about 1,200 people there, and we're talking about substance abuse. I'm moderating a panel, and they put out all of this promotion, and they wrote Amy Studi Mills.
Because she's from Studi and Mills.
Correct. It's the losses of Studi and Mills.
But so they messed up here.
Made my husband very happy.
I can imagine. I do want to put a plug. We will be speaking next Saturday. I think it's sold out, but it'll be in Vegas. If you want to come and party and drink with us the night before,
wait. We're here with sober people, my friend.
I'm sorry. Okay. You know, I've never been an addictive personality, so it's very hard. I really like hearing this because, you know, I wish I could get addicted to work or something.
I think you are addicted to work.
I don't know about that. But I don't know.
I do have that question that I would like to follow up on because I do have family members who do have addictions. And, you know, I'm not going to name who and what, but, you know, some people will stop for a while and then, boom, it starts right back up again. And then they stop for a little bit and it starts up. And then... Then I have some, you know, family members who just, it's gradually gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then actually one person has taken some responsibility and has cut way back. So they're not off of it and they're not going to meetings. What do you do at that point? Sometimes feels hopeless and helpless.
Yeah. Don't enable their behavior. You have to, there's another program out there, Al-Anon,
right.
for the family members.
I've done
and
some Al-Anon.
To
yeah.
be there to be supportive, to be loving, but not enable their behavior. So if their addictive behavior is impacting your life or others around you, that you can't be there to help them do that or condone it. And then when they hit bottom, to be there for them when the bottom comes.
Right. And I believe you can't preach, you can't lecture,
mm-mm.
you can't make excuses, you can't protect them or suffer for them, and you certainly can't make threats that you're not going to carry out.
Oh, I have learned that the hard way.
But what you can do is you can maintain a healthy atmosphere around you. You can share your knowledge. You can share experience. If there's somebody they're close to that is sober, such as a sponsor or somebody in a group that they admire, they can come talk to them. Beyond that, Al-Anon is your answer.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because when you hear it from these two, they have such great experience and great ideas, and it makes so much sense. It's common sense, but the way that Saul and Amy present it, it's reality. And speaking of reality, I want to talk a little bit about being a lawyer. I was reading The Sober Lawyer, and it's Lessons from How to Stay Married to a Lawyer, and they write, "One of the most prominent stressors I've noticed is that my husband constantly has people upset with him. There seems to be very little reward in the daily grind. He or she has clients who are hurting and confused, and they look to Brian to magically solve their ailments. Understandably, they are upset when he cannot fix their problems, or it takes a long time to fix problems. Then in court, he has opposing counsel and judges who seem to be upset with him. There probably isn't anything personal there, but the nature of the courtroom is adversarial. So all day long, he deals with people being upset with him. It's like a glorified customer service representative position, which takes its toll on my husband. I want to introduce to you now to Gervie's Law, Thomas Preston, MD, PhD. He is a longtime psychiatrist, very well known. He's an associate clinical professor at University of California at Los Angeles, and he was a resident at Cedars-Sinai and has practiced psychiatry for many years. Tom, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. I just read from The Sober Lawyer. Tell us a little bit about why lawyers specifically are subject to this type of, they are more susceptible to substance abuse.
They definitely are, but I'd like to back up just a little bit, if I could, and say something about substance use, especially alcohol use, and that is that probably 50 to 60% of individuals with this problem have a genetic hereditary predisposition. If you talk to people who have the problem, almost always, not always, but almost always, there'll be members of the family with the same problem. So it's genetically driven. It's congenitally driven, genetically driven. And then on top of that, which informs treatment, which we may get time to talk about later, then on top of that, being a lawyer is, for the most part, not very gratifying much of the time. You may have moments.
we're all smiling.
We agree.
You may have moments when you win a case, but for the most part, especially, you know, let's take your specialties, workers'
right.
comp. The defense from the defense side, which would be Amy and Saul, they're always unhappy that they're not getting a cheaper deal.
I don't know that they're unhappy. I know their clients are.
Their clients are, yeah.
And they put a lot of pressure on
right,
them.
Right,
and
that's what I meant by they.
Right.
And then from your side, your clients don't appreciate what you're up against. At least that's been my experience.
That's true.
And so you are constantly trying to satisfy them without getting much back in return, other than maybe you prevail at some point in the case. So that's extremely stressful. So in addition to this 50% hereditary inclination that applies to alcohol, you've got the cultural and social interactions, which lawyers, and by the way, most doctors also have to cope with.
Okay, but let's look at it from a different perspective, because you're being very kind. There are three lawyers sitting in front of you, but let's talk about the personality of the lawyer, and I'm going to ask Saul and Amy this. I'm reading from a blog that says, put ego and analytics aside, lawyers in recovery. A great many of us lawyers have strong egos and sharp analytical minds. That's what makes us talented litigators and corporate attorneys. But those two traits are huge liabilities in recovery. It certainly has been for me. An overinflated ego makes it much more difficult to achieve humility and identify with others in the recovery. Can you identify with that, Amy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're supposed to solve the world's problems, and we can't even look at our own. The denial can become so thick that it's very, very hard to pierce through that, but it is imperative to recovery.
You know,
yeah, I totally agree. And the you talk about the pressure. You know, the motto of an insurance company is not "What have you done for me?" but "What have you done for me lately?" And the pressure will always be there to do something more. And you have to be able to shut it off. You know, once the day is over, you know, well, actually, once I get back to the office and I'm dealing with staff, I shut off the ego, and I have to be an advocate with my opponents. I have to be an advisor for my clients, but then, you know, the ego goes totally away with me once I, of course, leave the office. But even dealing with my staff and colleagues on issues other than work.
But no one's harder on ourselves than we are. I mean, that's what makes it even more difficult.
Well, that's a certain personality, I think, and it may draw the law students, and, you know, starts out as a student. And you know, I know that I was attracted to being a lawyer probably because my ego is pretty big. You know, I wouldn't be doing this radio show right now if I had a small ego. You're supposed to smile or laugh. Come on. I want to talk a little bit about functional alcoholics, because, you know, I'm looking at this another blog. It says, why do lawyers drink so much? Because they can. Mm-hmm. The reasons given for lawyer alcoholisms are always the same. Lawyers are only alcoholic because they're super type A badasses. That's what we're talking about right now. Lawyers hate their jobs and drink to forget. It's not the law that makes people alcoholics. It's alcoholics who choose the law. But then they write, well, think about this for a second. Being a lawyer is a great job. You can have a drink anytime you want. You can drink as much as possible while having a job. It's being a functional alcoholic, hanging out with friends, getting hammered, and hooked up with random people. Then they can just say they don't remember. You know, lawyers are great at negotiating. They're great at talking their way out of things. So tell me, Dr. Preston, why is it that a lawyer can be a functional alcoholic, and maybe it allows for people to drink more or to have take more drugs, where other professions can't do that?
I would think about this maybe a little from a little different angle, which is to say, I think the lawyers who have big egos, another way of saying that is you expect much too much of yourself. And when you expect too much of yourself, inevitably there's going to be a lot of loss and anxiety that emerges. And unless you have a way of dealing with that, you are vulnerable to using substances. And there are various ways to deal with that, anything from treatment, psychiatric treatment, psychological treatment. I think AA is a form of treatment, including having a gratifying personal life, which I think is important.
Okay, you know, we're going to take a break right now, but I want to pick up with what you're talking about right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can turn your life around. If you are having problems with alcohol or with drugs, our panel is going to discuss from a lawyer's perspective and a psychiatrist's perspective how we can help and how you can change your life. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
790 KABC presents An Intimate Evening with Brad Paisley.
Everything I ever wanted.
Live at the Saban Theater, Wednesday, July 8th, hosted by Peter Tilden.
This is your chance to see country superstar Brad Paisley up close and personal. It's an intimate evening with Brad Paisley, his hits, stories, question and answer, and it benefits the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation.
Get your tickets now at kabc.com/Brad.
Brought to you in part by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I think I've heard the whole Journey concert. I don't even have to go tonight.
No.
The glass is always half full. That's what we're talking about right now. And we're talking about filling that glass with lemonade and not with alcohol, notwithstanding the previous commercial that we heard.
So hard lemonade's out.
Hard lemonade's out? It's got to be soft lemonade. Okay. You know, and I'll tell you, it's really important that we talk about how to address issues in substance abuse, how to address alcoholism. We have an incredible panel here. Two lawyers who have had addiction problems in the past and have worked their way through them to become very, very successful. Saul Allwise and Amy Studi is here. They're here with us with Dr. Tom Preston, a psychiatrist. And let's talk, Amy, just a little bit about how to deal with these problems, because the two of you are sitting in front of us here. You've explained about where you've come from, and it's really interesting. You've talked about the psychological aspects of it. Dr. Preston has talked about hereditary issues. But let's talk about how to help people and how to avoid going farther and farther into the abyss.
Well, we don't get people drunk and we can't keep them sober. It is an inside job. But it takes becoming honest, to admit there's a problem, getting help, having a supportive family, and continued contact with some support network. We also learned that an expectation is a premeditated resentment and that we're only as sick as our secrets. So we deal with our resentments. We deal with, again, making amends, cleaning house, and helping other people. And it is a lifetime. And we do it one day at a time.
You know, I have a friend who's like been in the program sober for a very long time, I think since like the 80s. So will not finish, what is the fourth step, the amends? Will not finish it and continues to create ruckus and continues to create upset with everybody around him. And his daughter, sober 8 years, dad, you got to finish the fourth step. You're driving everybody crazy here. How do you get somebody who's been sober and knows they think they're done with the program? How do you get them to take responsibility for people they've hurt? Here's another question.
Well, that's a huge problem because I think Amy would agree that that person is probably out of dry drunk and the next drink is inevitable.
Even if it's been almost 30 years,
yeah,
or maybe 25.
It Well, that or they're just going to become more and more bitter as time goes on. You know, we're talking about, you know, getting back to that hole in your soul. You could just, you know, white knuckle it. And I know I did when I first got sober for a couple of years, and it wasn't until I started working the other 11 steps that my life started to come back together. And even then, I fought every step. I swear. I mean, the first one, I was pushed into it. But then every one, I was never going to complete that damn inventory. I was never going to make those amends. And when I was in enough pain, I did it.
Working on yourself is the hardest thing in the world. You know, it's like we all do other things to avoid working on ourselves. We go to work, we do a good job there. But working on yourself is the most important thing to me in this lifetime to do.
Well, what about if you need some help? Because it's very hard. A lot of us feel alone. When you have a doctor, a psychiatrist, Dr. Preston, tell us, you know, what Saul's talking about. He white-knuckled it. He talked about, you know, and I know him. He's got so much perseverance, and he's really got a great head on his shoulders. And not to say that others don't, but how do you deal with patients who may not be as strong in this area?
Well, I think that there is more than AA. AA is very helpful. But there's a very large other treatment world out there besides AA or in addition to AA. Alcoholism is a complex problem. It's not solved necessarily just by going to meetings or doing the 12 steps. There's a very high success rate in people who do obtain treatment, usually.
What about medications? Should people be on
medications? Yes, medications can be very helpful, and there are two in particular that can be helpful. One is called Naprosyn. I'm sorry,
Naprosyn,
naltrexone. I have a backache.
Yeah, you can take some Naprosyn.
No, naltrexone. And the other is called acamprosate, and both of these work on the brain mechanisms, the brain reward systems that can help. They don't do the whole job. You cannot just use medications, but they help a great deal, particularly with craving and withdrawal symptoms. So somebody who is early in abstinence and is withdrawing can take acamprosate, and that will tilt them toward not going back to drinking, in addition to all the other treatment. But they need AA, they need psychotherapy, they need motivational therapy, which is a form of treatment, and naltrexone. And there's an appreciation now that one of the dimensions of alcoholism and other drug abuse is the craving desire, the craving urge, which can be as bad as being extremely thirsty.
Yeah, let me talk to Amy for a second, because I want to find out. I know she does a lot of work with people. You have devoted a lot of your time to helping, especially women, but people generally who have had addiction problems. Tell us your approach, and how do you help people? And by the way, congratulations for doing that, because not a lot of people, you know, step up to the plate and do what you do.
No, thank you, but it's very rewarding for me. You know, we have certain steps that we go through, and we take them in order. There are two components, just as Dr. Preston said. There's the physical, and then there's also, again, the ism. And many people that quit drinking will turn toward gambling, food, mm-hmm. sex. There's a Pack Rats Anonymous. There's all sorts of other ways you can go unless you finish your fourth step and you deal with these issues. The people that I work with, the women I work with, are not afraid to call. It's not always a pleasant thing, but they do if they have an issue. And invariably, I'm not their lawyer. I'm not their counselor. I'm not their mother. I'm their sponsor. So all I can do is direct them to the writing. And I am a big advocate of writing because the pen does not lie where we can.
You know, Saul, tell us a little bit about some other alternative resources that people can use. Lawyers, for instance, the other bar.
Yeah, well, there are other resources out there. The Lawyers Assistance Program is part of the California State Bar, and the telephone number for that is 877-LAP-4-HELP or 877 527-4435 or go on to the California Bar site, which is calbar.org. Also, there's an organization called The Other Bar, and their website is otherbar.org. And that's an organization for attorneys to go to where they will feel safe. God forbid a client might be there, or that
right.
you'll be amongst the people that understand that you know what your issues are uniquely as a lawyer. And I understand there's other organizations out there, like in law enforcement, for safety members and like that.
What you're bringing up, and you know, it's very important to think about this. That if there are resources, you need to avail yourself. But what about the stigma? I mean, here you are here. You're doing such a fantastic job, and I know both of you, you know, great people. But some people aren't as strong as you are to come out into the public because of a perceived stigma. Amy, how do you address that?
Well, if they come to a meeting, I know that we always try to hold out our hand to somebody who's new and try to extend ourselves because we remember what it was like being new and in this kind of strange environment. If it's somebody in the community and we find out about it, I'll always give out my phone number and say, have them call me. Have mm-hmm. them call me when they feel like it, and I'll sit down with them. I'll take them to a meeting if they'd like. You do what you can, but again, it still is ultimately up to that person. So we can nudge them in the right direction, but they've got to be the one that's going to take the steps.
And there's a lot of time, because I've been to so many meetings with friends, and there are meetings, if you're listening to this saying, oh, it didn't work for me, or I didn't like it, or I didn't like the people, there are different meetings with different people. And I didn't know that either, but there are, with, you know, some people, more professional meetings, more. So you can find a meeting with people that you like and kind of that you have more alike with, correct? Because I've heard people say, oh, I don't get along with those kind of people.
Yeah,
but
that gets to the stigma and the feelings, and I think it's, you know, feelings about yourself. You know, Saul is so comfortable with himself, and I think that helps a lot. And a lot of people who aren't worried about it, it's more important to take care of your life than to worry about what other people might think.
Right.
And that's something that we all have to think about. We're running out of time here. We could stay here for another hour talking about it, but of course the Doctor's Roundtable is coming up after 3 o'clock. Just one last word. We only have a couple of minutes. Saul, what would be your advice for people in a sentence or less?
If you know somebody that's in pain and somebody that is involved in substance abuse, be an empathic listener if you can, because these people desperately need to be heard.
Amy?
Well, I also encourage people to be heard and remind them that it's a disease, just like diabetes, just like anything else. This is a disease, and if you need help, there are many different ways to get help.
Tom.
It's a disease. It can be treated.
There you go. You hear it from the psychiatrist. It can be treated. It's really important if you are having problems or you know someone who's having problems, please make sure that you help them or you help yourself. If you want to get a hold of any of our guests today, Saul Allweiss, you can find him on the web, Losses of Saul Allweiss in Tarzana, Losses of Saul Allweiss. Amy Studi is with Studi and Mills. And they are in Irvine, California. You can get her at astudy@smdcomp.com. And Dr. Thomas Preston is in Encino. He is on Ventura Boulevard in Encino. It's Thomas Preston. I want to thank you all for coming out here. It's been a really interesting experience, and I appreciate everything that all of you have said. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
I want to thank everyone for listening to Gervie's Law.
And Alan, have fun at Journey tonight.
I'm listening to Journey
Woo!
Any way I want it. I'm going to enjoy it. And I will tell you all about it. Carrie, don't forget to listen to the Doctor's Roundtable with Alan Gervie coming up after the news. You've been listening to Gervie's Law, and we've been taking negatives, turning them into positives, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And I have to tell you that we will be right back here next week at 2 o'clock Saturday. Have a great week, everyone.
And happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to my Father's Day tomorrow. from my great kids, Hudson and Harper, almost forgot who they are, and, of course, Nancy, who will orchestrate the whole Father's Day. See you next week.